Neither of the detectives would give names. Chief Lanford said, however, that the crime lay between the Negro watchman and the factory president. Chief Beavers would not commit himself. "I am satisfied with the progress we have made," were his only words. Frank firmly denies guilt. He expresses confidence that he will be released this afternoon. To a reporter for the Constitution who talked with him after the third degree, he made a complete statement of his actions on the afternoon and night preceding the discovery of the girl's body. "I'll admit that I was alone in the building from 4 o'clock until 6. I was working on the office books and reports, though. No one else was in the place. That's positive. I'll swear it."
"I would hardly have recognized Mary Fagan had we met on the street," he said.
His chief defense, he avers, will be alibis to prove his whereabouts during the hours of Saturday and Sunday morning, except the space of time between 4 and 6:30 o'clock, remained at factory. "I was with two of the plant's mechanics," he told, "until 1 o'clock. They left at that time. The Negro watchman, Lee, showed up just about 1 o'clock. I had prepared to go to the ball game. It was cold and dreary and looked like rain. I had a lot of work to do in the office. It needed me more than the ball game. I decided to remain at the factory. Saturday afternoon was half holiday. When the watchman showed up, there was no need for him around the place while I was there. He deserved holiday, too. 'You can go out and knock around until 6 o'clock, I told him. At 6 o'clock, he reappeared. Gant showed up about that time hunting his shoes. I gave him permission to go into the building and referred him to the watchman. At 6:30 o'clock, I went directly home and remained there until I heard of the discovery of Miss Fagan's body."
"How did you hear of it?" he was asked.
"Detective Starnes called me over the telephone about 6 a.m. He came out for me in an automobile. I went immediately to the factory." Locked up doors. Frank's first act after viewing the corpse, it was remembered by the Constitution reporter, who went with the police when they first visited the scene, was to nail up the door which had been broken open in the basement, presumably by the girl's slayers. "I am not guilty. Such an atrocious crime has never entered my mind. I am a man of good character and I have a wife. I am a home-loving and God-fearing man. They will discover that. It is useless to detain me, unless for investigation and for information I might be able to give." Frank stated that he was not surprised when the detectives came to arrest him Tuesday afternoon. "I had been expecting it," he said. "I knew I would possibly be able to render information that would lead to the real murderers." Frank Given, third degree. He was taken into custody shortly before noon. Detective Starnes and Black found him in the offices of the pencil plant. He willingly submitted and was rushed to headquarters in the automobile of Chief Beavers. Immediately upon arriving there, he was locked in the office of Chief Lanford with Pinkerton Detective Scott, Lanford, Chief Beavers, and other police experts. For 3 hours, he was grilled and questioned. The Negro watchman was interrogated at the same time and in the presence of Frank. Frank is a small, wiry man, wearing eyeglasses of high lens power. He is nervous and apparently high-strung. He smokes incessantly and stuffed a pocket with cigars upon leaving for police headquarters at the arrest. His dress is neat, and he is a fluent talker, polite and suave. The doors had been locked behind him during the third degree no more than 30 minutes when Attorney Luther Rosser, counsel retained by the factory president, appeared at police station. Rosser denied admittance. As he started to climb the steps leading from the second floor to the detective's quarters on the third story, he was checked by policeman John W. West, who had been stationed at that point with orders to admit no one upstairs. "You can't go up there," the attorney was told. "I will go. I want to see Mr. Frank," Mr. Rosser replied. "You'll have to get permission from the chief. I've orders to admit no one." The lawyer left in an angry state. Within a few minutes, he communicated with Chief Beavers over telephone. The chief assured him that he would be admitted to the building and even to the room in which his client was being interrogated. When Mr. Rosser later came into the presence of Frank's questioners, a stormy scene ensued between him and Chief Beavers. Sounds of hot words came through the closed door and attracted a large crowd of detectives and reporters.